Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam. Naram Chaiva Narotama. Devam Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Urijate. Nastaprayasyu Abhadresyu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Utamasloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki. So today we'll continue our discussions and reading from the fifth canto. We're on text 41, and the chapter's title is Forest of Enjoyment. So I'm just going to read word for word, and then we'll read the translation. Karma valiyam. The creeper of fruitive activities. Avalyam lirya, taking shelter of. Tatha, from that. Apadha, dangerous or miserable condition. Katha nichit, somehow or other. Naradkat, from the hellish conditions of life. Vimukta, being freed. Punha api, again. Evam, in this way. Samsara adhavani, on the path of material existence. Vartamanaha, existing. Naraloka sa artham, the field of self. Apyayanti, he enters. Evam, thus. Apri, above. In the higher planetary systems. Gata api, although promoted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activities, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems, and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. Purport. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmananda Brahmiti Kona Bhagavayam Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Latabij. This is from Madhya Lila 19.151. Even if one wanders for millions of years, from the time of creation until the time of annihilation, one cannot get free from the path of material existence unless one receives shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As a monkey takes shelter of the branch of a banyan tree and thinks he is enjoying the conditioned soul, not knowing the real interests of his life, takes shelter of the path of karmakanda, fruitive activities. Sometimes he is elevated to the heavenly planets by such activities, and sometimes again he is descended to earth. This is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Brahmanda Brahmati. However, if by Krishna's grace one is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of the Guru, by the mercy of Krishna he receives lessons on how to execute devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In this way, he receives a clue on how to get out of his continuous struggles up and down within the material world. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one should approach a bona fide spiritual master. The Vedas declare, Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva bighi gachat. Mukunda Upanishads. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tad vidhi pranipastena seva upadikshayanti te jnanam jnanasanan tattva darshanan. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21 gives similar advice. Tasmad gurum prapadyante jignasu surya utamam sabde paracha nishnatam brahmani upasamarsanam. Any person who seriously desires to achieve real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaving aside all material conditions, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti, a great Vaishnava, also advises, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. This is the same advice given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Kripa Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. This is essential. One must come to the conclusions and therefore must take shelter of a pure devotee, and thus one can become free from the clutches of matter. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Svachyada Satarini. So it's a little cold today, so everyone hopefully can get a little bit fired up by hearing, and I will also try to become warm by speaking Shravanam and Kirtanam. So this is our legacy left to us by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So the title of this chapter is The Forest of Enjoyment. But I think they should also include in this title a question mark, because as we have read from the beginning of this chapter up until this point, there has been no indications of anybody enjoying anything. Going through descriptions of the different varnas and the ashrams and the perplexities that are imposed on those living in these different ashrams and their responsibilities, and how the modes of material nature are affecting our daily lifestyles. All of these are for causing us to be confused and endure suffering and miseries with a little bit of icing on the top. And when we taste that sweetness, we think this is a wonderful place. It's like the punishment that they used to inflict on prisoners, which was called dunking. They would put them in a chair and lower them into the water of a river or a lake, and just when they couldn't endure one second more, they would raise them up, and one breath of air they could take in, and that moment they were relieved from all of the distress of being submerged into the water. So this is a condition that we are faced with every day in this material world. So in reality, we know there is no enjoyment when one identifies with, as it says at the very end, matter. We can enjoy in this material world by what we are doing now, associating with devotees, listening to katha about the personality of Godhead, looking at his form, coming to his holy dham. In this way, we can take pleasure, but this is not part of the forest of enjoyment. This is another forest, which I will discuss later. We know that we can elevate ourselves by pious activities, even up to the highest planetary systems, and live for very long durations of life where pleasures are unbelievable. If we think that within this material realm, what is the most pleasurable thing? Maybe having a big car or a nice home, a beautiful wife or a handsome husband, nice children, a bank balance, and opulent foods. Just like on the moon planet, where they have access to somaras. Somaras is so intoxicating that we cannot even imagine the pleasure the demigods take from drinking this and then frolicking in the forests and in the lake regions with the apsaras, the beautiful damsels from the heavenly planets. Those who are living in such opulence, they are also in illusion. They think that there will be no end to this, but in the material world there is a beginning and there will also be an end to all of these activities. So, as it says, we may elevate ourselves to the highest planet, but at one point we will fall down again. And there are millions and trillions of life forms, and who knows, from a demigod to a swine or a pig, or even worse, there are other entities in lower planetary systems. Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radhe Shama Sundar, Hari 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 Bol. So there are millions and trillions of living entities in the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, and all of them are being engaged in different activities by Maya, by the material energy, and all of them are in this delusion that they are enjoying. So, just like now, it's very cold, so everyone is bundled up with hoodies and chadors and sweaters, and still the cold is there. We cannot avoid it. And this is meant as a form of enjoyment? No. This is meant to wake us up, saying, why am I having to endure this type of environment? So when we come to that point where we begin to ask why we have a friend, and this friend has been with us from time immemorial, and that friend is of course Krishna, who is called Chaita Guru. Chaita means what? Chaita means sitting. And where is Krishna sitting? He is sitting within our heart, right next to us, watching us go to the heavenly planets, coming down again to the lower planetary systems, suffering repeated births and deaths, enduring so many hardships here within this material world. And then at that moment when we become inquisitive and begin to inquire, Chaita Guru will oblige us. And how does he do this? Chaita Guru will manifest himself in the form of a physical spiritual master. But among all of the living entities in the material world, very, 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 very few are truly interested in finding out why we have to sit here in the freezing cold, or endure the extreme heat, or grow old and die. No, they're continually thinking and believing that, oh, just around the corner there will be some form of enjoyment for us. But the wise man knows better. And this person is very lucky. Bhagavad Gita tells us, Bahunam janmanamante gyanangya prakajate vasudevam sarvam iti sab mahatma surajalam. So, one who is truly searching after knowledge is very, very, very rare. And among all of those who are in search of knowledge of the Absolute Truth, only one out of all of those will actually attain success. So we are sitting here. We are all endeavoring to different degrees to cleanse ourselves from the contaminations of this material energy and associate fully with the Supreme Lord and escape from the clutches of matter. But to what degree are you surrendering? That will determine if you are that one out of thousands and thousands and thousands who attain success. So by a show of hands, how many are that one who is going to complete this life and go back to Godhead? Let me see your hands. Most people are not very confident. You see, one person, two persons. But this should be the forefront of our thoughts at all times, because by recognizing Chaita Guru within our heart and then by His mercy being introduced to a true spiritual master, we can achieve that in this lifetime. Prabhupada had been asked many, many times, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And he said, 1 second is all it takes. And who can give an example? In 1 second, who became Krishna conscious? Yes, and also Gajendra. Gajendra also. It takes only 1 second to become Krishna conscious. But we want to prolong because we have another agenda. I will do seva, I will do service to a certain degree. But still, I think I can enjoy here. There are many things that I want to accomplish. So I won't put my full effort into this process of Krishna conscious. No, I will do just enough to get by. But I will harbor within my heart material desires to enjoy something that has attracted my eye or my sense of smell or my taste. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the friend of everyone. Nobody is my enemy. But a person who is devoted to me and engaged in devotional service to me, I show him special attention by letting him meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is not reserved for a certain class of individual. Krishna is not partial to one nation, one sex, one caliber of individual. No, he is there to give his mercy to anybody, depending on their caste, their class, their educational background. All can be eligible to receive this mercy. So the example that Srila Prabhupada gives is that of Narada Muni. So for us, Narada Muni is the most exalted, but he was the son of a maidservant. From very humble beginnings, he would assist his mother while she, in a hermitage, washed the clothes and cleaned the rooms of saintly people. But the saintly person is very compassionate, and he and they offered to allow Narada Muni to hear, you know, their discussions on the Vedic literatures. And by this hearing process, the seed of devotion began to manifest itself within Narada Muni's heart. And as a result of this, we can see that today he can travel to any planet just by the thought, by his mind, playing on his veena and instructing others on this process of getting freed from material energy. So Krishna is ready to give us all eternal life. That is what we want, because why? We are eternal. We are growing older day by day. This becomes perplexing, and for many it causes great mental anxiety, because they don't understand, why is my skin wrinkling? Why am I becoming decrepit? Why are my fingers and hands becoming arthritic? Why? I don't feel this way. That's because they are identifying with their body. But Krishna will give you eternal existence by waking you up from this bodily conception. And he does this by manifesting himself in the form of the spiritual master. And how quickly this will come to us depends on our eagerness. We have to be 100% eager, put everything else aside, and be determined that I will be successful in self-realization. So when this happens, Krishna will show you, there is the person that can give you the information, the instructions, and the knowledge by which you can become free. It's just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna began the Bhagavad Gita by having a friendly conversation with Krishna. And when they were having friendly conversations, knowledge was not being imparted to Arjuna. This was not enough. It wasn't until Krishna heard from the lips of Arjuna, he said, "Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me what is clearly best for me. I am your disciple, and now I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me." So then, at that point, the instructions of Bhagavad Gita began, and we know the conclusion, that Arjuna became completely surrendered. But this is not blindly surrendering, because if you surrender to someone, you must also be able to inquire. We know that in Bhagavad Gita, this was a dialogue, questions and answers, questions and answers. Paripasena, this means to inquire, but your inquiries must be done in a submissive attitude, not that you want to challenge. There were many times that Prabhupada was having discourse with guests and even some of his disciples, and they would want to show how intelligent they were, or trick or catch Srila Prabhupada off guard, and they would challenge him. But of course, Srila Prabhupada was able to defeat all comers. It didn't matter who they were, where they were from, what educational background they had. He was able to smite them and defeat them by his knowledge, by his surrender. Because he is that soul who has completely surrendered. But when you approach the spiritual master, you must also have proper qualifications. Just like if I come to India here, I just can't walk right in past all the security and get in a taxi and go wherever I like. I must have my documents in order. This is praniprasthena, which means having the proper qualifications and being able at that point, with my proper qualifications, submissively inquire to that knowledgeable person who can save us. So once we receive knowledge from these great liberated souls, we become indebted to them. And this is where sevana comes in. It's not that you come to the spiritual master, take whatever he gives, and then say, "Sayonara, I'm going now." No. Now you must render service. And Prabhupada has given us instructions. For Prabhupada, the highest service that you can do for Srila Prabhupada is what? No. No. Distribute my books. This is what Srila Prabhupada spent his life manifesting. And then he said on many occasions, if you want to make me happy, distribute my books. So when we take the instructions of the spiritual master seriously, our reward is that we will lose our attachment, just like Prabhupada in the very last part of the purport says, thus one becomes free from the clutches of matter. So now we are in a chokehold by the material energy, and we are suffering whether we will admit it or whether we are blinded so much that we cannot even realize it. We have been fortunate enough to come in contact with that person who has the key that will unlock the shackles of this material energy and allow us to, in this very lifetime, go back home, back to Godhead. So, in the beginning, only one person said that they were going to make this journey in this lifetime. But now I want to see everybody's hand in the air saying, I will go back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. If you do not, then you are an unqualified disciple, because it says that a disciple must have the qualifications to inquire, and the qualifications means that he will follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So if you follow the instructions of the spiritual master, the conclusion is that this process works and you will go back to Godhead. So don't let that thought exit from your consciousness. Keep it in the forefront of your daily activities, and remember that the sole purpose for us being here is to get out and go home, back to Godhead. So the title of this chapter again is The Forest of Enjoyment. But in this forest there is nothing but suffering. But here we are living in a place where there are 12 forests. 5 of these forests are on that side of the Jamuna, and 7 of the forests are on this side of the Jamuna. And in these forests, Lord Krishna carried out different pastimes, killed many asuras, frolicked with the gopis, played with his cowherd boyfriends, lived with his mother and father here. So these are truly the forests of enjoyment. So when you go out into the streets and see and hear the honking of cars and bicycles, and confusions don't become illusioned by this external nonsense. You look for these 12 forests and you go there, and within your mind you will see the Baal trees where Krishna and his friends would enjoy the fruits. You will hear the sound, and you will see the games that Krishna would play with his friends, and how he would trick the gopis. One of the forests, Krishna would disguise himself as a boatman and offer to take the gopis across the river in his boat. But in the middle of the river, he would say, "Oh, my boat is old, and your milk buckets weigh too much, so you have to throw your milk overboard, otherwise we're going to sink." And the young naive girls would do this, and then Krishna would reveal himself and laugh and laugh. And so if we meditate on these transcendental pastimes, we will find that pleasure that will give us the ability and the endurance to suffer out any type of extreme unfavorable conditions that material energy imposes on us here in this life, knowing that the reward is death. And death, for Vaishnavas, it says that Vaishnavas live to die, because they know at the time of death they will give up this material gross body, they will assume their true spiritual swarup, and they will enjoy eternity in the spiritual world. So let's make a pledge to become serious, dhira, grave, and all of us together go back to Godhead. Not just one bahunam janmanam ante, not one out of thousands, but thousands and thousands out of thousands will all go back home. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
You know, you mentioned about pleasing Prabhupada, whereby he would have been pleased the most in case we go to distribute books. In one of the lectures during Kartik, Sachinandan Swami said that Prabhupada had told him that he would be more pleased if you were to read my books verse by verse, text by text, rather than the focus being on distribution of books. That is one part of it. The second being that versus somebody who is into gratification of senses, would Prabhupada would have been pleased if he would have distributed books, or rather he would have slowly done away with his sense gratification? And thirdly, what would be more important between distribution of books, renunciation, and chanting almost 64 rounds a day religiously and abiding by all the principles as prescribed by the Bhagavatam? Thank you.
First, the first part of your question is, if you go to a kiosk in a train station, there is a man who is selling newspapers, he's selling magazines, he's selling whatever types of literatures. He doesn't read these every day, he just sells them. But for us, the literatures that we sell or we have are very complex, and in order to convince someone to take these books from us, you must have knowledge of the contents of the book. So, yes, these books were meant for us. We read them every day. So this is most important, reading the books, but to not, it's like you have a valuable treasure and you keep this in a secluded place, and in the secrecy of the dark of night, open it up and look at it and then close it. No, you want to share it with others. So why do you think we print so many books? We print these books to be distributed, because out of thousands and thousands of books, maybe one person. There's so many cases where you buy a book and you take it home and you never look at it, but your friend picks up that book and reads it and becomes a devotee. I can remember in 1969, I gave my mother a Sri Isha Upanishad. And then the last time I saw her, which was a few years back, she brought that book out and returned it to me. She says, I kept this book all of these years. So that's more than 45 years she kept that book. She said, I never read even one page of this book, but I kept it. So at least she was able to see Vishnu by seeing the cover. But the contents, you know, is not for everybody. So I'm sorry, the other two parts of your question.
You know, the other question was, you know, the you know, between you know, the focus of Bhagavatam, which is entering the Ras Mandal, and between you know, renouncing the material desires and distributing books, what is, you know, who, what would you give the highest weightage to, you know, to the focus on you know, trying to you know, give up and go back to Godhead, or distributing books, or renouncing your you know,
all of these are important. There are 9 processes for executing devotional service, starting with Shravanam Kirtanam. So we take all of these. If you are good at one, you do that. So, and no, see, do not challenge. You are challenging. So you have to be submissive. Prabhupada said, you cannot sit down and chant Hare Krishna all day long. We are not qualified to do that. So therefore, we do bhakti yoga. We have activities such as deity service, cooking in the kitchen, sweeping the temple, doing all of these things. Just like the devotees at Gundichi temple would clean the temple, devotees like Raghunath Das would sit down and chant. Haridas Thakur would sit down and chant all day. But others needed other types of engagements. But the fruits of their efforts were given on the altar of sacrifice to Krishna. And so therefore they became pure. So you can become pure by any of these processes. But you have to fully engage in that type of service. Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Yes. 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 I have a list. You can even find them on the internet. If you go on the Braj Mandalam Parikram, they will take you to these places. Just like now, Madhavan Colony is one of the forests There are many. Vrindavan is one of the forests. There may be some of bale trees still there. There may be an apartment building also now. There's temples there, yes, and other things. They don't have a monument of a bale tree, you know. This is a bale tree, you know. But I'm just saying that, yes, all of these places are named. It said Bilavan is the name of the forest where the bale trees were. And this is also where Krishna would perform at different times. There would be Ras Lila dances there, and there's a deity of Shiva in this area also. So, yes, they're in a parikram. It's a 4-kilometer area. Yes, so some of them are smaller. One is only 1 kilometer in size, this forest area. But they're described if you go on the internet and just look in 12 forests of Vrindavan. It will give you a description of all of them. And if you want to go there, the rickshaw drivers know how to go. You may go there and just see houses and apartments and nothing. But in your mind, you see the beautiful lush forest, and you see the cowherd boys and the gopis and all of Krishna's friends with their little calves and cows. So they're still there, but because our eyes are not anointed with the salve of love, we cannot see them. And our hearts are covered with the dust of material contamination. Still, again, we can't see it. So to enter into that mood, you must cetodharpanamajanam, and you must anoint your eyes with the salve of love. And that comes through surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.